Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, a week from tomorrow. What's a week from tomorrow?
It is April 4th.
Next Tuesday, thank you. Huh?
It is April 4th, is it not?
Okay, that's Share-a-thon.
You're right.
It is April 4th.
So Share-a-thon on American Family Radio starts Tuesday.
Week from tomorrow.
Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So be in prayer about that for us. American Family Radio, how are you financially supported, you might ask, Tim? Well, it's gifts and donations from people who listen to this station or this network just like you. Mm-hmm. So we really count on Share-a-thon, you know, being a time when our listeners support us financially, because we don't beg, you know, half a month out of the month like some people do on the radio and TV. We don't do that. We twice a year we ask folks for financial help for us to stay on the air. And so next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we will be having our twice-a-year Share-a-thon here on American Family Radio. Tim Wildman with Evan Tagliano and Walker Wildman. And we thank you for listening to American Family Radio. And Steve Jordahl is in studio with us as well. Steve is with OneNewsNow.com and American Family Radio News. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning and afternoon, everyone.
All right, Steve. It's all yours.
Top of the page.
Make this show great again.
Top of the page at OneNewsNow.com. That's OneNewsNow.com. We've got a story from the Associated Press about states that are trying to pass laws that say that Sharia law is not acceptable in this country, and we've got Muslim groups fighting those laws in those states.
What is Sharia law for those who don't know?
Sharia law is the very conservative, or I would say reactive, law that Shia Muslims use. And it is the one that says that the women's have to be covered head to toe with burqas. It's the one that throws gays off of buildings. It's the law that says that a man can marry as many women as he wants. It's very
who would be for that?
Men
marrying as many women as you want.
No, the whole thing.
Oh, okay. All right.
Who would be for the whole thing? Well, that
well,
too.
Well, the Muslim community, some of them in here, they don't say that. Implicitly that they're for it, but they say that it's a waste of effort because, well, they just, you know, don't. It's part of the anti-Muslim kickback, they say. So that's a battle going on. You can read all about it at OneNewsNow.com.
That's incompatible with the U.S. Constitution.
In many, many respects, it is indeed.
Right.
Well, we can't have it then. You can't have, so you're saying that that Muslim groups are advocating.
There are several states that are trying to pass laws that say Sharia law is not in force here. You cannot pass Sharia law.
Oh, and there
Sharia
are Muslim groups fighting back against that.
Right.
Okay.
Because there are countries in Europe where they will, for example, and maybe I don't know if it's true in certain parts of this country, where they have Sharia compliant tribunals. They're not official parts of any, you know, local government, but they are usually Muslim clerics, imams, who handle certain aspects of life for the Muslim community. And so that is like the camel's nose under the tent. So divorce, for example, these imams say, we want to handle it, since these are Muslims, we want to handle it in our court. It's not an official court, but we want to handle the divorce proceedings because it needs to be done according to Islam.
Yeah, and I have
so
heard,
the question is, do we let them do that? Or do they have to, you know, have the divorce, for example, in a regular court?
And I have heard, in fact, that I can't verify it, I haven't double-checked it myself, but that there are some communities, Muslim communities in this country that kind of tend that way.
Right. Yeah, and our listeners may think, well, Steve, you know, everybody, Why are states being provocative and passing laws that say they ban Sharia when really, you know, think Sharia-like things are incompatible with the Constitution, illegal, etc.? Well, the fact is that there have been mild forms of Sharia law attempted to be passed in this country. And you see it in Canada right now. They're trying to pass a law that prevents people from speaking ill towards Islam. And you've seen, I mean, the whole PC movement is that which you cannot speak negatively towards the Islamic faith. And so these laws are, there's nothing wacky or conspiratorial about these laws.
No. They
might be needed in the future, and so it's good that these states are being ahead of the game.
Well, in some parts of Europe, where Muslim populations in the inner cities have grown substantially over the last 5 or 6 years, they do have. Now, the official governments say, no, it's not true, but people that we've talked to have said, yeah, there are no-go zones. Mm-hmm. And so if someone is caught in a primarily Muslim area of London, rather than one of the Muslim, you know, the Muslim storekeeper calling the police, they turn them over to a Muslim cleric or whatever,
right.
And they want to be able to use Islamic justice under Sharia. And
which
so,
all the videos I've seen, they come with sticks,
yeah,
ready to beat somebody,
right.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman, Eva Tagliano, Walker Wildman. And you can check us out on Facebook Live for Today's Issues, or download the podcast of this show or any other programs you hear on American Family Radio by going to AFR.net, AFR.net. Yes, Steve, next.
I wanted to check with Dr. Robert Jeffress this morning. He is on the Council of Evangelical Advisors to the President, and I wanted to get his take on last week. I know you guys talked about the death of the Republican health bill, so I wanted to get his take on it, and this is what he said. He said that President Trump made three major promises to Christian conservatives, one that he would pick a conservative Supreme Court justice, that he would defund Planned Parenthood, and that he would defend religious freedom. So after I asked him what he thought about President Trump reaching out to Democrats for the next pass at health care, I said it would be highly unlikely that they'd be able to get the defunding of Planned Parenthood past the Democrats.
No, it would be highly unlikely. It would be impossible.
Well, this is what he said.
There are a lot of ways to defund Planned Parenthood. It doesn't have to be necessarily through this provision. It can be through the tax bill that's to come later on. So there are a number of ways to do that. But look, I think the president was right to stand up for the Freedom Caucus and refuse to be held hostage by them. They were trying to yank him far to the right to get him to repeal some very popular provisions of Obamacare, such as covering pre-existing conditions and allowing children to stay on their parents' policy till age 26. There's an old joke that says people hate Obamacare, but they love the Affordable Care Act. And I don't think this bill was a good bill to be passed, and I think it was flawed. I don't think it enjoyed great support from the American people, and I think it could have hurt the president had it in fact been passed.
So in a sense, you're agreeing with the Freedom Caucus about the end result, if not the particulars.
Well, for the opposite reasons. I think they were trying to pull the president far too far to the right on an issue that a lot of people just don't resonate with. So I think for opposite reasons, it was probably a good thing to be pulled.
Discuss among yourselves.
I love Robert. You know, and the good thing about Robert is that, you know where he stands on things. You know how he thinks. And he's a Fox News contributor, so he's asked to comment on things like that. I don't know if I agree with him completely on that analysis, but he is right. The Supreme Court and the defunding of Planned Parenthood
and religious liberty,
and religious liberty, which religious liberty, President Trump doesn't understand altogether. He does understand parts of religious liberty, but not altogether. But on the other two, I think he's committed to defunding Planned Parenthood, which is the largest provider of abortions in America. He's said so, President Trump.
Right.
This was in the bill, had it been passed.
It was.
So, and the Supreme Court, yeah, got to give them an A on that. So,
yeah,
I'll say what I said in the first segment, okay, and that is, yes, argue about those kind of things, pre-existing conditions. I think some form of that is going to have to be included because people want that in terms of
how in the world. Excuse me for interrupting you, Mr. Yeah. Battagliano, and I get accused of interrupting a lot here, and I'll accept that blame right here on
okay.
this. Somebody explain to me, and maybe I'm just the only one in America, how in the world do you tell an insurance company you have to insure somebody who already has a disease or a problem? I don't understand how that works. That's like telling me I don't have car insurance. I go have an accident, and I'm waiting on the police to show up, and I'm calling State Farm saying, can you give me some insurance?
Well, but it's here's my opinion.
Go ahead.
First of all, they're not the same.
Okay.
Because if a person has a disease, he's going to be treated. He's going to be treated. So if you go to the emergency room, they're going to pay for your treatment. So it's not the same as having a car wreck. If the car wreck happened and the law was you have to fix a car that's in an accident, then the insurance would be the same as yeah. as car insurance. And all I'm saying is, in terms of one of the aspects, which I wasn't going to go where you were going to go, what I was going to say is, if I have insurance and I lose it, okay, and I have had heart disease, I don't think it's right when I go to the next insurance company for them to say, well, you had heart disease 10 years ago, we're not going to cover you. That's what I was going
to
talk about.
And that's what it used to be. But I think your point is a good point, but I think
whose point?
Ed's point is a good point about
Mine's
the
not.
Difference. No, yours, but I agree with you. And here's why I agree with you. I think it's exactly the same as the car insurance thing. And this is how they deferred it under Obamacare, is they said everybody had to carry insurance. That way, your pre-existing conditions were spread among a pool of all of America under their ideal plan. And the insurance companies were going to have to eat it, but they would spread that pain around. It doesn't work without the mandate, because you know exactly
right.
This
is Obamacare right. you're describing.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it was a good plan,
no,
but that's how they
yeah.
that's
well,
how they legitimize it.
My point is, if a guy doesn't have insurance and he has a heart attack and he goes to the emergency room, who pays for that?
We all do.
Right.
Right. That's my point.
Well,
we
and,
all
well,
do.
We already do that.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying insurance. Now, maybe have a deductible where you got to pay a higher deductible if you do that. If you decide I'm not going to have any insurance, and if I have a heart attack, I'm going to go get insurance, then you say, well, you're going to have to have a higher deductible. That means you're going to have to pay $20,000 first. But I don't think there's anything wrong with telling insurance companies that make a lot of money, where everyone's going to have to be covered, and
you know,
because someone's going to pay for it, and I want to spread it around.
First, I don't think
like you're for universal health care.
I don't think the Robert Jeffress. I don't think I don't think the Freedom Caucus is to blame as much. You know, maybe they could have conceded a little bit more. Maybe so. I'm not sure. But I think the Freedom Caucus gets a bad rap because they genuinely want conservative ideals to succeed in Congress, and it's almost every time the Freedom Caucus tries to stand up for their core values, they're told, "Look, come over to our side. Come
right.
over to the establishment side.
The establishment
side,
tells them.
And then next time,
right.
we'll give you what you want."
Right. And they've
done that before.
Right.
They did that
many,
last
many
year
times.
With the omnibus bill. They all voted for the omnibus bill, and we were upset about that.
Those Freedom Caucus guys, there's 30 to 40 of them, they've been burned so many times on promises from the establishment that they don't trust them anymore. And President Trump was talking about this last week. He was talking about there's so much distrust in this city that precedes me. Mm-hmm. Within party ranks, and he's absolutely right.
To Ed's point, and this is a dirty little
secret.
What was
Ed's point?
Ed's point.
I'm not for universal health care in terms of socialized. I'm saying if insurance companies are going to be in the business of making a bunch of money, then they
yeah,
should.
Yeah, but they're subsidized by Obamacare.
They were Ed was talking about pre-existing conditions. And
yeah.
The dirty little secret that I have is that I remember the days before Obamacare, and I was very frustrated with healthcare. I was frustrated with the insurance companies. I was frustrated about the pre-existing conditions, which bit me a little bit.
Yeah.
So it was broken before Obama got to it. He just broke it further.
Yeah, that's true. And that's what I was going to say. I was going to say after my comments on the Freedom Caucus, the insurance, health insurance, this is a very complex issue. I mean, obviously, because we can't get the Republicans to agree on it. But it almost seems like, you know, there are some things you just can't fix. I mean, completely. And you can't make it a utopia, a perfect world. And I think insurance is almost one of these things where it's never going to be perfect. Not everybody's going to all be covered. I mean, that's just part of life. Things are unfair sometimes. And so I think what seems to be done, and I'm not sure I know how to go about this, but we need more competition. You need more competition and less regulation, which incentivizes these companies to hopefully lower cost. And when you can shop amongst insurance providers, they're gonna be incentivized to give you a lower price.
Well, why don't you have that now?
Well, because the Republicans couldn't agree on it.
Well,
that's the heart
some people
of the,
say, yeah. Brian Fisher wrote a column a couple of weeks ago and called it Swamp Care.
Yeah.
And what he was saying was that the special interest groups wrote this bill that Mr. Ryan and Mr. Trump tried to get through. And now you start getting into too much depth right here, you're going to lose me. And I think you lose 95% of the American public because only your policy wonks understand this thing completely.
And TI listeners too, by the way, just saying.
But I think, you know, I would say you've all made good points here. And I'm a consensus builder. And I would just say to Walker's point, and I don't mean to sound discouraging because I want to be encouraging, but I think healthcare costs, making them, quote, affordable, whatever that means, are making – I think you may be dealing with an unsolvable issue. The reason is, as I mentioned here before, healthcare is considered a human right in this country.
It is now.
And because of our Christian heritage, we care about people, and we don't want to see them untreated because they don't have the money to pay for it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So when you have that kind of approach, then – there's nothing, then you can be exploitive, too, of people and charging them whatever you want to charge them because you know they're desperate. On the other hand, these doctors go to school for 8-10 years, and you know what? They have a right to be rewarded for their medical expertise when they get out of school and not be told, well, you need to do it as a charity, basically. Mm-hmm. So they have their say. All this complicates things. Also, as I've said before, this isn't like shopping for a car. So you say, well, Tim, just apply the free enterprise system to healthcare. Well, you can do that to a degree, but we're not going out shopping for a Mazda, Ford, or Chevy. Car, whether we want a new car or old car, we have a chance to decide. When you're laying in a hospital bed and you need a liver transplant, you don't go, you know, we need to shop this thing around.
Right.
And why don't you call all over the country and see what's the best price we can get on a liver?
Yeah.
Right. You don't do that. You say, my mom is going to die if she doesn't get a liver, and I don't care about what it costs.
Right.
You get that. You have this surgery, or either she's going to die. You see what I'm saying? So if you have that kind of situation with healthcare, then the costs are going to go up and up and up and up. And I don't know that there's any way to solve that issue totally. That's my own thinking on that. Don't mean to be discouraged.
Yeah, it's complicated. I agree to, you know, I admit that I don't know how to solve all these kinds of issues. I would just say this in terms of, we started off talking about Pastor Jeffress, I think that I don't think the Freedom Caucus was trying to hold the president hostage. All these arguments, all these discussions we're having about, well, how do you fix that? How do you fix this? All I'm saying is that second, the first thing I want to hear is that Obamacare is repealed.
And you weren't going to hear that.
With Ryan's Priebus, all those. That's what I want to hear. Obamacare is, and if it takes 6 months to come up with a good bill to replace it, fine. Don't repeal it until then.
Yeah.
Okay. But the first thing I want to, so I don't think the Freedom Caucus was trying to hold the president hostage on this. I think they wanted to fulfill their promise, and incidentally, President Trump's promise. Repeal Obamacare.
And
then you can discuss the other stuff.
And President Trump and the Republican leadership need to be really careful about overpromising. They need to pull back a little bit. I know that's not his style, President Obama's, President Trump's style, because if you can't do that but so many times, then people get cynical. You know what I'm saying? And you lose credibility. So you just need to, I'm just saying, word to the wise, you need to, because President Trump has a lot of goodwill stashed away with those who voted for him. And he doesn't need to burn all that up by raising expectation levels too high. I don't know if that's typical politicians. And he's not a typical politician, but he is in that respect. Because he's the one that promised, repeal and replace. Almost immediately,
right.
and when it didn't happen,
now they're blaming the Freedom Caucus for that.
Right.
I want to ask you about your consensus building. Is that why
my consensus?
Yes,
building?
You said you were a consensus builder when you were thought we all had good ideas, and I want to know if you're wearing Tennessee orange in the Mississippi State Country or Ole Miss Country.
Oh, my shirt? You mean my orange shirt? I don't know. Some people say it's Auburn orange or Oklahoma State orange.
Well, it looks Tennessee
Facebook
to me. But
viewer said it was Clemson.
Or Clemson orange.
There's a lot of orange out there.
Or it could be Florida or Auburn. I don't know.
Your gray shirt's like the sky.
Little Sisters of the Poor Gray.
I thought I'd brighten the day up.
Yeah, you are.
By the way, you're speaking of, I'm a Mississippi State grad.
Yes.
And their ladies basketball team made the Final Four.
Yeah, you were telling me that during the break.
Yeah, they defeated.
And their reward, you said, was to play the UConn Husky women,
right.
Or what, women Huskies, whatever they call them.
Right, the Husky. I think women's teams have
Husky
all,
being a dog, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, yeah.
The beautiful dog.
I think in college sports, I think I'm correct, all women's teams have dropped the label lady.
So they have? So it's not lady
Huskies?
They're just
the UConn Huskies.
Okay.
Or the Baylor Bears.
I think the Lady Vols still have their carrying
on the
old
Lady
tradition.
Vols from Tennessee?
I think on their logo it says Lady Vols.
Oh,
they may be the only one, but.
You're wearing Tennessee colors. You should ask them.
Well, you can't wear maroon every day.
Well, I wear black just about every day.
Yeah, you do, Ed. I don't know. What team do you pull for that's black, got black colors? Or do you just have a sort of a downer look on life?
He knew we were going to talk about Obamacare replacement today.
Oh, my. Me.
Ed Bloom, despair, and agony on me.
Or maybe Ed's just a huge Johnny Cash fan.
Yay.
And wants to wear black every day.
It's just an Italian thing. You know what I mean? You wear black. You want to see my gold chain.
The gray goes with the beard.
I think black is slimming.
Well, it hadn't been working lately.
Working for me today.
I got to tell you, Ed, Steve, it ain't working for you. I hate to be the one to tell you guys. You need to get busy. Summertime's here. You need to.
Just one final question.
Suit.
Does talking about colors on the radio do the same thing as talking about the depths of healthcare?
Oh, yeah. So much fun talking about the...
It's good radio right there, buddy.
All right, there.
All right. Today's issue is the program. We thank you for listening, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Take care, everybody. Thank you.